This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
Now let's bring in the director of the Office of Management and Budget, Mick Mulvaney. Welcome to Fox News Sunday.
Thanks and good morning.
President Trump has talked about a number of items he'd like to see in this government funding bill, which are so important that he's willing to see the government shut down if he doesn't get them.
I don't think anybody's trying to get to a shutdown. Shutdown is not a desired end. It's not a tool. It's not something that we want to have. We want our priorities funded, and one of the biggest priorities during the campaign was border security, keeping Americans safe, and part of that was a border wall. And we still don't understand why the Democrats are so wholeheartedly against it. They voted for it in 2006. Then Senator Obama voted for it, Senator Schumer voted for it, Senator Clinton voted for it. So we don't understand why Democrats are now playing politics just because Donald Trump is in office.
But I want to ask you direct questions.
Well, it was Mick Mulvaney talking about the border wall. Yet rather surprised that this was something that they would be against. I'm talking about the Democrats. Well, of course, anything that Trump says, they're going to be against it. That's what it comes down to. And of course, this is all leading the way and maintaining a divided America right now. And it is amazing to me when you hear pundits or you hear opinionators talking about the border wall, and they're against it. It's like, okay, well, what's your idea? Well, it's about the money. Well, how much money is it costing us? How many people is it putting at risk? The immigrants who are coming across illegal, especially if they're illegal, they give up their rights, and then they're subject to whatever heavy hand they happen to walk into. And the old saying, birds of a feather flock together, so where do they go? They go where other immigrants are at. And so they all huddle together, and it makes it easy pickings for those that can put a heavy hand on them. Does that make sense? Okay, because when I talk to people here in the United States, I mean, and you can have a reasonable conversation, they begin to understand why it makes sense. And the border wall is something that we all should be participating in. But because we're divided, and because everybody hates Trump, and and it's just this isn't what the United States is all about. The United States is united, okay? And there is a reason that there are forces that want to do everything they can to break us up, because if we're all broken up and bifurcated, then we're easily manipulated, which is what's been happening over the years, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, to the point that we're not even in our rightful authority. We've surrendered our rightful authority in running and owning the government that's supposed to serve us. Instead, they've turned it around because we've been divided. We haven't held to the values of what our Constitution is all about, which I find quite ironic, because most of these people, and I say these people in politics and that, and those that are have a heavy hand on us, it seems so gentle, but it's very heavy-handed, actually, they are attorneys, and they will tout the rule of law, and if there is a document there, boy, will they sue you in a heartbeat and do everything they can. But yet when it works against them, they're just hoping upon hope. And, of course, we've demonstrated this to them time and time again. And I hate this word that the people are stupid. It's not so much we're stupid. We're just too busy, dealing with life. And we're ignorant. Stupid is when you've had the opportunity to learn, you've learned it, and you've just said, hey, in spite of what I've learned, I'm still going to go ahead and do it. I know the law of gravity exists, but I'm going to get up on top of the building and I'm going to challenge the law of gravity. I think people would say that's pretty stupid, especially when you've tested it and you found time and again, gravity works no matter where you are. If you're in South America, North America, you're in Europe, anywhere, gravity exists. And that would be rather stupid to do. But the people aren't stupid, ignorant, bogged down. But this is why, we joined voices with the Tea Party and Jenny Beth Martin saying, look, give 5 minutes, invest 5 minutes in your country. What have you got to lose here, ladies and gentlemen? And besides that, understand that we are divided, and there's going to be some contention. And you may not be the most well-liked person on the block. That's just life here in the United States today as we see it. Maybe we can do something about it, but you got to stay together. This is Bill Martinez. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com and drop me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. I don't know about you, but boy, I'll tell you, everywhere I went, people wanted to talk about Bill O'Reilly this weekend. They know, at least most people, I mean, and there's no question. I mean, Bill is one of these guys that, you know, it's like Donald Trump. He's, you know, you either love the guy or you hate the guy, and there's no in between. And it's sad that that's what it's come down to. But that set aside, people understood, Scott, I got to tell you, people understood that he got railroaded. It's a bad deal. And that Fox is going to pay for this. And by that, I mean, look at, they are in, they're in the business to do business. And they just got rid of their franchise, threw them out the door. And so now who's going to bat cleanup and be able to hit home runs like O'Reilly has been able to do? They might for a little bit, you know, with, Tucker Carlson, they might be able to for a while. But I think it's quite interesting that O'Reilly is, he's coming back on the air. He's going to be on the air later on tonight. He's going to be doing a podcast, and people ask me that right away. So what is going to happen? I said, look, he's got enough wherewithal. If he wants to go back on the air, he'll get back on the air. It's the nature of the industry is such that you don't need a terrestrial outlet. You don't need antennas anymore. You know, you can do it on a podcast. There's all kinds of ways for people to connect. And with his strong following, they're going to track him down, and they're going to connect with him as he does his No Spin News podcast. And this will start this evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And, you know, getting to the point here about the unfairness of it all. And I don't know if you saw The View. I saw that take of The View with the gal who was the, you know, it's almost like the straw that broke the camel's back. And this gal came on with her story. And I thought, okay, well, this is going to be a really heavy-duty story. I mean, something just terrible. And because she's saying it, she's relating her own story. And I thought, what? I mean, he grunted, and you know when people, you know, look at you. I mean, to me, it was like, it was almost as silly as the statement that was made by the one congressman that said that women could, they could self-abort, you know, mentally, they could self-abort. It's like, well, wait, what are you talking about? I mean, she was out there, and of course, Whoopi and Joy Behar and the rest of them were just, they were just all so giddy, you know, kind of deal. And her attorney, the gal's attorney, was all excited. I mean, she had, boy, this was a woman's rights issue. Let's burn the bra, wipe out the marriage certificates. Hey, the women, we all came together and we got this guy. Really, no due process, nothing that our country knows about. And I'm saying, look at, just like what the Democrats did in going nuclear in Congress. Feminists are going nuclear. And this is going to come back to haunt them because they have set this in motion. and conservatives are on notice. If you weren't on notice before, look, there's a war on everything that seems to be good and right and consistent with our Constitution. There is this antithetical movement right now, and it is weaponized. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I mean, stuff like this, you got to always remember there's a backlash. Just like with political correctness, there's always a backlash. There's always going to be a point in time where people get sick of it because they know it's wrong. You can't do stuff like this.
Yeah.
And
but the people need courage, though, Scott. There's got to be that backlash. You just cannot sit back. I mean, it's kind of like Doug Giles. The reason we like having Doug on, because there's no holds barred. I mean, Doug calls it like it is. And I know that there's a lot of people that get offended by Doug Giles. But when they step away for a while and they go, whoa, I mean, really, he's kind of right. You know, I mean, yeah, he's not very sweet about it, but he calls it like it is. And this has been the problem because of political correctness. We want to be soft and tender, but now here we are. We're violating the law. We're violating a man's civil rights. He gets railroaded out of town. And, of course, hey, look, Fox can do whatever they want to do. It's their company. But, hey, they can make money or they can lose money. Whoa. And Rupert Murdoch is right instinctively. His gut is right. And his sons, I mean, to be so concerned about the New York Times, which, what, like they're the bastion of credibility right now? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that there's anything that I have a problem with the backlash, especially when it's stuff like this, to where I think that you know, without having any proof or letting him go through any sort of you know,
due process
mm-hmm. And getting rid of a guy, that's not right. And eventually, mm-hmm. people get mad about that because eventually you get something like I always run. You remember during the Sandusky stuff?
Yeah.
With Penn State and that,
right.
ESPN was all about trying to find all these stories to ride along on that, and they had a guy from Syracuse, a coach from Syracuse, I forget his first name, but they run a story talking about how he, you know, sexually molested these players. Well, it turns out that he didn't do anything with the players illegal. And they were actually blackmailing him,
mm-hmm.
the players. So he was actually the victim. Well, ESPN ran tons of stories about this beforehand, but then when the truth came out, they put their retraction on the story.
Yeah, but meanwhile the guy
lost his job.
Sure, yeah.
He lost his job. He was, you know, now he was tied in the minds of the public to Sandusky, mm-hmm. and that's not right. You got to give people their due process. You have to.
Well, and I guess that's what's coming out, Scott. To your point, is Americans for the most part are fair-minded. Even the ones that are most radical and they're upset right now about whatever side they're representing, they still can pause for a moment, and the question is it fair? And they can some say, you know, and if they can have that sober moment, they can connect themselves with fairness. And most people, what, about 96% of the people polled are saying, you know, this isn't fair what happened to O'Reilly. But, you know, O'Reilly's strong enough, you know, with his brand and his following, he's going to rise. He'll still be a strong voice, and if anything, he's probably going to be more committed to this. And I got to tell you, for me, it gave me this sense and connection with the people in such a way, and to have compassion, you know, for people on both sides, is that, look at, we're not helping ourselves by being bifurcated and going along with this, you know, with this movement to divide us, as we were talking about last week.
Well, we need to remember that we're on the same team. Like, we are on the same team. You know, we all live in the same country. We're all on the same team. And I really think that's something that's been forgotten.
Exactly. Well, and that's what George Barna was bringing out in his research last week when he was talking about this, is that, you know, it's the old axiom, you know, divided we fall, united we stand. We are the United States of America. But look at, if we don't hold to the truth, and don't give me this stuff that it's all it's all relative. You know, truth is truth. If you think it's relative, you don't have truth. You have immediately let go and disconnected from any connection with the truth. it's not relative. It either is or it isn't. It is black and white. And you've got to take a look. I think this is a soul-searching time if we're going to learn something from this, that America, as a united group, as you say, Scott, that we come together in such a way to pursue truth.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescription, so I don't have to, which is good, because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins, so I remember to take them, too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Chris Farrell joins us now, Director of Research and Investigations for Judicial Watch. He's a member of the Board of Directors as well. An expert in all things Benghazi, served as a military intelligence officer specializing in counterintelligence and human intelligence. This is the asset that one Chris Farrell is and what he brings to bear on the conversation this morning with us. Chris, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, doing terrific. Thank you so much. Judicial Watch, speaking of purveyors of truth? And do you feel like the lone crusader rabbit sometimes out there pursuing truth?
Well, there's some other good folks out there who are hustling around trying to uncover stuff as well. We're not alone.
Yes.
But I think that Judicial Watch is unique in its ability, number one, to actually put investigators and researchers on the ground to recover documents and interview people and do all those sorts of investigative things. And then number two, we litigate, right? We go to court and we sue. And there's a lot of other think tanks in Washington, D.C. Nobody does what we do.
Exactly. Well, we appreciate the aggressiveness, especially with what's coming out here recently, that Judicial Watch reported that you're suing the IRS to preserve its emails. And, of course, the whole email deal is such a convoluted mess between Lois Lerner and Koskinen, the director of the IRS, and how the guy is still in his job is beyond me.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point he stays in that position because of two things. Number one, poor leadership or lack of leadership in Congress. They couldn't even move to impeach the guy, which is pretty pathetic when you think about the leadership not being willing to use one of the few tools they have available to remove somebody who's so obviously contemptuous and corrupt. That's strike one. And then strike two, unfortunately, is I'm not sure whether it's because of there's too many other fires burning, or it's not the priority, or it's, I don't know what. But President Trump hasn't removed him. I mean, he serves at the pleasure of the president. So, you know, there's any number of folks who the president could bounce. And every president does it. It's completely legitimate. There's nothing wrong or bad about it. If you win the election, you get to put your guys in. That's just how
exactly.
It works.
Right. Well, for some reason, I have this sense there's going to be a bloody Monday around the corner where all these, these objectionable people. I mean, the problem I have with Koskinen is he's only lied, I think, three or four times already to Congress. And I don't know. Maybe there's a limit. Maybe you got to get up to six or seven before you're actually fired. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense at all. And it's a very smug, sort of condescending character, if you've ever seen any of his testimony.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't really feel any sort of obligation to answer to Congress and the people. He sort of deigns to be there. It's very peculiar for somebody who's supposed to be a public servant.
Well, he channels the colonel in A Few Good Men that says, you need me at the border doing this job. If you didn't have me, you would be at risk. And who are you? You know, this condescension and this arrogance. Why are you asking me? It's like you're not even smart enough to even ask me these kind of questions. I'm so so much of an aristocrat. That's what comes across to me.
Well, and the sad thing is, no one's called his bluff, right? There's an opportunity for the leadership in Congress to say, "Okay, sport, you're done. That's enough."
Yeah, really?
And they can't.
Yes. Well,
they won't. I'm not sure if they can't. They won't.
Yeah, and it is confusing because you wonder, you know, of course, we know that the Beltway travels in all these leaks. That's the economy of the Beltway. Maybe there's pictures, there's leaks, there's information that gives him a get-out-of-jail card that somehow they just don't want to unleash if they take this guy on. I mean, you know, it's that old saying, you know, it's like, you know, what pictures of who do you have that allows you to have this kind of arrogance? I don't know, but it is amazing.
He does have everyone's tax return. So
exactly. Including Trump's right now too, no doubt.
Chris,
it just came out that in fact, Lois Lerner and the IRS, did in fact target the Tea Party. I mean, like, we didn't already know this, but now all of a sudden,
no,
I guess,
and now
the evidence is clear. What are they going to do about it?
Great question. I mean, there's two questions there. One is, given this, you know, sort of confirmation of what we already knew very well, does that mean that the Attorney General now decides to take it up as a criminal matter? And that's the one that has the most punch, right? If he impanels a grand jury and they pursue this criminally, I tell you where the reticence is on that, and that is with the FBI because the dirty little secret is the IRS sent 1.25 million taxpayer files over to the FBI to have them kind of thumb through them and see if they could find anything interesting. So to a certain degree, the FBI is complicit in this whole thing. And I don't think that they're particularly interested in airing the dirty laundry of or thumbing through FBI returns, which are protected. It's protected information. You just can't do that. You just can't go sending around files of people's returns. So they're kind of wrapped up in this in a very negative way. And that's why, you know, way back when, now years ago, they said, no criminal action whatsoever. You know, which has kind of left people dumbfounded. But the reason why is because if you look at it, the FBI is wrapped up in it. And they're not too interested in explaining themselves. So, and then of course the other remedy, is Congress. But, you know, that's just mostly a soundbite contest.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the thing. I mean, there's so much stuff flying around, Chris. I mean, innuendo, rumor, leaks, you know, what happened toward the closing days of the Obama administration. We're finding out that President Trump was, well, then candidate Trump, was already being investigated, but through a third party. I mean, this stuff is pretty nefarious, isn't it? I mean, you know, when this thing first broke out, Chris, I said, this is shades of Watergate all over again, but in a high-tech era. And then to find out that there are outside agents, I mean, the CIA, FBI, National Security was not even involved in it, but that a third party, I mean, the way to get around this easily was to, you know, let's bring in the British here and get the information.
Yeah, this, if you're going to do sort of scales of how bad it is, I mean, Watergate's, you know, minor league baseball, you know, single A.
Yeah, right.
This is major league. I mean, this is exponentially more complicated, a graver threat to our liberties, bigger crimes, a wider circle of people. This is going to be a frustratingly slow story to develop. It's all the different agencies and departments and the cast of characters in Washington. They're going to circle their wagons and really go into defensive posture. They're very reticent to release any sort of information because they've really been caught with their hands in the cookie jar. You know, they had knowledge of and acted on stuff that they had no business getting involved in. They never thought it would get out. Well, now it's out.
Yeah.
But now it's sort of, you know, like pulling teeth, right? Because no one wants to step up and go, yep, this is what we're doing.
Exactly.
Even though we have all the indicators that show that.
And this goes to the White House. I don't know how it doesn't go to the White House.
Absolutely. I already have Susan Rice as National Security Advisor to the President. Making admissions on television in her typical style as the designated liar. You know, she's said three or four different stories on television.
Exactly.
But she's eventually admitted that she was involved in this unmasking of names. And, you know, the notion that the National Security Advisor is reading raw SIGINT transcripts and unmasking names, that's like, if you give you an example.
And Scooter Libby's going, hey, what happened to me?
Yeah, that's like the New York City Police Commissioner running around handing out parking tickets. It's unbelievable. It's like, whoa, you, what are you doing? outdoing these things. You have much bigger fish to fry, and you have an army of people to do it for you.
Chris Farrell, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Director of Research Investigations for Judicial Watch, Chris Farrell on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Chris.
This report is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. The American dream used to be a two-story home with a white picket fence. But a recent YouGov study commissioned by Fifth Third Bank found that more Americans value peace of mind over home ownership. In fact, only 15% identified buying a home as a top financial goal. Instead, priorities are paying off debt, saving for an emergency, and having a retirement plan. Despite this change in focus, Americans are still struggling to adequately save for the future. Bina Elliott, Senior Vice President and Director of Community and Economic Development, Fifth Third Bank.
These survey results underscore something Fifth Third has known for a while. Consumers are struggling to reach their financial objectives. We want to help change that through services like our Lives Improved through Financial Empowerment classes, which are designed to give them the financial tools they need to succeed.
For more information, visit 53.com/life.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America, just the way you like me. Fresh every day, 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Tom Rogan is with us from Washington, D.C., contributor for Opportunity Lives, a panelist on the McLaughlin Group, senior fellow at the Steamboat Institute, holds a B.A. in War Studies from King's College London, and a Master's in Middle East Politics from the School of Oriental and African Studies. Tom, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Good to be with you, Bill. Thanks.
Hey, I want to talk to you about your article that you wrote in the Washington Examiner about the French election. What happened? Why it happened? What will happen next, huh?
So last night we saw Emmanuel Macron, the centrist candidate, and Marine Le Pen, the far-right candidate, essentially come first and second, respectively. They now go into a runoff. But the real takeaway from last night is the destruction, quite frankly, of the Republican and Democratic Party equivalent. So the establishment political structure really was pulled out from under its feet. And you know, that is a new development, and one that I think reflects the same kind of disenchantment in France that we saw perhaps in the election of President Trump here.
Exactly. Yeah, because in a sense, I mean, it's not that you had Donald Trump as a traditional Republican, right? I mean, Hillary certainly is a traditional Democrat, or certainly the future of where the Democrats see themselves heading. But it took somebody as different as Donald Trump in much the same way, as you say, this kind of Brexit move, what happened. I say, Tom, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I think if you go back to the seeds of even the Arab Spring, I mean, there's been unrest around the world about the status quo of government.
Yes, I mean, there has been. And in some sense, there's a positivity to the notion that individuals feel more able to petition for political change. But I also think, you know, there are a number of differences between some people trying to draw parallels between Marine Le Pen and Trump. I'm not so sure about that. I have a piece of National Review out today discussing why I think that might not be the case. And one reason why is that I think where Trump talked about immigration, enforcement of the law, job creation, from Marine Le Pen, there's a harder edged element to it. There's a more narrow notion of national identity, undercurrents of, I think, quite obvious racism, and a protectionism that I think goes actually far beyond what President Trump has talked about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now give us the contrast with Macron.
So Macron is, you know, in my opinion, again, my National Review piece today argues that he is the candidate that American conservatives should support. He is someone who wants to deregulate the French labor market in particular so that young people can have a shot at getting a job, so that private businesses can hire and fire, and so that you can have what he would call entrepreneurial risk-taking in the American vein, that you reward those who are willing to put capital investments on the line, risk everything, to try and generate, you know, a profit, but also an economic benefit to society. So his philosophy is, you know, globalization, at least in the EU sense, of high-value export-import, is here to stay. How do we grow the economy? Will we make it easier for the private sector to you know, the invisible hand is unshackled, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's got a culture that he's got to work against that has gotten used to all the government handouts, right?
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, that is the challenge, but it's also the opportunity in the sense that he is, I think, very likely to be the next president. If you look at the polling data and you look at the support he has. But again, there are very much vested interests in France where the state is very large, where welfare payments are very generous, and where regulations such as, you know, 35-hour work week and mandatory you know, overtime pay, et cetera, are very, very embedded. And so to get past those things, he's going to need to see the support of Parliament, and without any representation there at the moment, you know, he's going to have a tough job to be able to bring both centrists from the left and right towards his policy platform.
Now, why does this matter to the United States, Tom?
I think the first reason it matters is in terms of foreign policy. Macron is a supporter of NATO, more skeptical of Vladimir Putin. Le Pen, I think, pretty clearly is in the tank for Putin. She wants to withdraw from NATO, and she has this kind of Gaullist slash appeasement philosophy that I think would be counter to the notion that Donald Trump has talked about of making NATO stronger and making it pay its fair share. And making sure that the United States have allies that are willing to bear the burden alongside us. But in terms of economics, as conservatives, if we believe in the free market, if we believe in bolstering opportunity, then I think Macron is the clear choice over Le Pen's preference for protectionism, for insulating vested industries and individuals against competition, either from young people trying to enter the job market or from new firms trying to develop goods at a better quality and lower price. And so it's a philosophical debate in the end.
Tom, you kind of alluded to this earlier, and that was the mainstream media here in this country tried to attach Trump with Le Pen, and you said right off the bat that's not necessarily the case, and I think you just explained the clear delineation between Le Pen and Trump, that they're really not as philosophically aligned as the mainstream media here in this country would want us to believe.
No, I don't. And I go into more detail on this in my National Review piece, but a big difference is that Trump's sort of populism, you know, some of the things he said, I would say are really quite unpleasant, but that you can see they're designed for political expediency in one moment. But in the sense of governing, the broad themes of his governance are, I think, designed to, you know, bolster economic growth, to expand market access. Again, the focus on deregulation here is a very notable, I think, difference between Trump and Le Pen. In Le Pen's case, there really is a very overt disinterest for people for minorities, for example, in the inner cities. And Trump, of course, during the campaign, spoke about how Democrats have failed those inner cities and how they deserve much more. He still tweets about it in terms of Chicago. And so there is a quite noticeable difference. But if you dig into the details, it becomes clear. But, of course, I think, for many in the media, painting Trump as Le Pen allows for an easy sort of scapegoating to go on. But unfortunately, it's not rendered by reality for them.
Well, yeah, and it keeps the Putin relationship somehow alive, and which has been ridiculous. I mean, because here we are months down the road. We were just talking with Judicial Watch, and here we are 9 months down the road. Nothing has been proven. If anything, the early tweets of Trump might have more veracity than not.
Well, we shall see. I mean, I still have my, suspicions about some of the Russian stuff. But again, at this point, you're right. Nothing has been brought out. And so we have to give the benefit of the doubt until, the doubt is not there either way. And if you look at the policy choices Trump has made, Syria, for example, in terms of reinforcing NATO, then, these are not things that are in the Russian interest. So that's an obvious takeaway.
Mm-hmm. Well, are the French ready to become entrepreneurs?
Well, we shall see. I suspect, though, that this is going to be a quite defining moment if Macron is elected, because in voting for him, you do see enough French voters saying, actually, to take away some of these generous benefits and protections is necessary. And so the very fact that they're voting for that suggests a bit of a change in the public perception.
Maybe a little bit of a wince, and like all pain, we want to avoid it as much as we can, but sometimes you just have to face it, and maybe that's where the French are right now, and Emmanuel Macron seems to be the one to take him to the promised land, maybe, especially with his double-digit lead. You can understand why the projection is that he will be, the youngest president of France, right?
He will be, yeah. You've got to take your medicine if you're not feeling well. And in the end, even if it hurts, it's like surgery, right? French
right.
realize they need surgery.
Well, Tom Rogan, contributor for Opportunity Lives. Tom, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself, too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
This report brought to you by Cox Communications. We're living in a time of constant connectivity. Thanks to advancing technologies, we can now connect our homes and make them more efficient and smarter. Cox Communications is demonstrating the smart home of the future, connecting more than 50 devices to high-speed broadband in several homes this year on a national tour. Everything from appliances, healthcare, speakers, lights, doors, even pet feeders can talk to home networks and each other, keeping you connected to your home via the Internet, even when you're miles away. Sarah Evans, consumer tech expert, digital correspondent.
Cox Communications has outfitted the smart home of the future. This will allow families to live more connected and efficient lives and have a little more fun. Cox's smart home is powered by high-speed broadband and includes voice-controlled TV and app-driven interface for home automation. The best news is that all the tech shown in the demo is available today.
To learn more about smart homes and the latest technology, visit cox.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-958-9659. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-958-9659. That's 1-800-958-9659. 1-800-958-9659.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired? Family Health and Education Resources wants to help you achieve and maintain good health naturally. Overcome lifestyle diseases with nutrition and natural remedies. Addiction recovery designed to build habits that heal rather than hurt. Communication and relationship building to strengthen family units. Character building and devotional resources for the whole family. We are on a mission to save America one family at a time. Visit NewEnglandFHER.com today. NewEnglandFHER.com.
There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're here to help you remember. We're here to help everybody else remember there is such a thing as the Constitution. Welcome back, America. 14 before the top of the hour. Our next guest, I was just talking with him. I said, with the things that he has to talk about and share, much, you know, along the same line as what we talk about here, how many college campuses would we not be allowed on because we only want to help? You know, we bring some news, we bring some wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of our age anyway, and along with it, some wisdom of the ages as well, because that's where it all comes from. And we want to share it to give people a leg up to help them avoid the mistakes that we made. That's what we're guilty for. And John Hawkins, who runs Right Wing News, co-owner of The Looking Spoon, regular on the Jazz McKay Show, writes a weekly column for Town Hall. His writings have been published at the Washington Examiner, Hill, Hot Air, Pajamas Media, and at Human Events. Hey, John, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
It is fantastic to be on your show. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, that's very kind of you. No, good to have you on here. As I was saying, in laying this out, I mean, you and I, the experience that we've gone through, we just want to help people. We want to say, look, at these are the mistakes. I tell my kids, I go, look, at, I'm going to give you a lot of advice. I'm going to give you experience. Here's what I've done. You know, learn from these experiences. Because I always say to them, too, my son, I know. Experience defines preference. You've got to take note of the experiences you go through to say, okay, what works, what doesn't, what's better off for me, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I sat around myself when I was thinking about doing the book, and I was saying, you know, if I knew everything at 20 that I do now at 46, it would have been a much different life in a lot of ways. There would have been a lot less mistakes. And that's what I'm trying to get across to them. And a lot of these mistakes are things you're not going to spot just because you're smart. Right. You need that experience. The only way to get it is either to do it yourself or find someone else who's willing to tell you about it.
Well, especially when you have a culture that wants to rewrite the rules. I mean, it's like we want to reinvent the wheel all the time. When the wheel is well done, it's like take it to the next level. Instead of reinventing it, do something different with what's already working and advance the cause. I mean, this is technology. This is what, especially now, because we're on the brink. We were just talking with Steve Case, the founder of AOL, and his new book, The Third Wave. John, you'd appreciated this. Because he's just talking about this technological revolution that we're about to explode on. Well, if the kids are not prepared for it, they're going to be left in the dust.
That's absolutely true. And I think, like Thomas Sowell says, a lot of people don't like common sense because it seems common. They want to be special and unique, but there's so many internal principles and so many mistakes that all of us make over and over again that it's real. I mean, they're ones that all of us can avoid. I guarantee you, I could tell you some of these, and you would either have done it yourself or know somebody who did.
Of course. Of course. And there, and this is your book, 101 Things All Young Adults Should Know, that you were motivated to write because of the things that you only wish you would have known back 20 years ago, right?
Right. Let me give you a quick example. When I got to college, I was 18 years old. My parents, first semester, said, we want you to study. We don't want you working. We're going to give you a small allowance. So I'm out there doing that, and I get a credit card in the mail, pre-approved. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, wow, what a bunch of idiots these guys must be. I'm 18 years old, and I don't have a job, and they're giving me a credit card. So I go out and make some really smart purchases with it, like pizza and credit card, pizza and party supplies, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the important
and
things.
Then, yeah. Oh, yeah, genius stuff. So yeah. I spent maybe $400, couldn't pay it back. Next thing you know, interest penalties, by the time I got done, I was over $1,000. Took me 3 years to pay off that credit card. And I realized they weren't stupid, I was stupid. I just didn't know any better.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of those things that you learn. When I was a kid growing up, John, there was a song from Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 Tons, What Do You Get? It was about owning your soul to the company store. And to me, the whole credit card business is just a new company store. It just keeps America on the plantation, beholden to people at interest rates now that are usurious. It's even much more dangerous for these kids than it was when we were growing up.
Yeah, between that and the college loans and just the other things, like people don't tell you, like, you know what, you can have lots of people who make plenty of money and are still broke. And if you look at it and ask why, it's almost inevitably they got too much house. They have a house that's really, really expensive and they can't afford it. And
exactly.
These are kind of things that you just don't know unless somebody tells you.
Mm-hmm. Or you find out on the other side of then knowing and or you're you know, and of course, I won't even go there. I was going to go into, you know, the housing bubble and what was done there, what was manufactured. But so here it is, your first lesson you learn outside of the halls of academia. So thank you very much. You learn about credit card debt. Okay, what else happened to you?
Oh, well, there's so many different things you go into. I'll give you another one that's kind of unusual. You know, one, people think about health, and they think about their weight. They think about, not being sick. I say one thing people don't think about enough is their physical frame, their knees, their hips, their back. Your body is so miraculously, such a miraculous piece of engineering, it'll just adjust when something goes wrong. But if you have, you're walking wrong on that knee or that hip and you do it for 10, 20 years, you're going to end up with a plastic knee one day replaced hip. You got to go to, get that treated. Go to a chiropractor. Go to physical therapist, get some dry needling and Graston tools worked on you. You can actually, I mean, I've had that done in the last few years, and I can tell you, I've moved better than I did 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I can do things I couldn't do, I've never been able to do, and I'm doing them at 46. And part of that's just because of those type of treatments, and not everybody can do that.
So you're telling your wife now you can dance?
you know what, I can do a full squat with my feet together.
Yay.
Which is something I couldn't do, or bend all the way over with my feet put together. And that's something like that I couldn't do when I was younger, and a lot of that, for all of us, it's tough because we spend so much time sitting. Our hips and hamstrings and glutes get weak and tight. So you really need to work on those things. It can make a huge difference when you're older if you don't do that now.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about flexibility, right, John?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Not just flexibility, but movement. Being able to move the way you want to move and go where you want to go. I mean, I know people who are 60, 70 years old, and they're barely able to move around.
Yeah, exactly.
And I got to tell you, if you don't take care of that stuff at 20 or 30, you'll be one of those people at 60 or 70 who can barely get around anywhere, and you don't want to be in that position.
So let's talk about the another golden nugget topic, hashtag love.
Yeah. Love is scary, man. It's great and it's scary, but I mean, in general, there's a whole chapter. There's not one particular thing on love, but we've done a lot of things, you know, telling people, how much time you should take before you get committed to them and how men should embrace their masculinity and women should embrace their femininity. I mean, I can just tell you I can't tell you how many of my female friends have come to me and complained, and they're like, you know, I don't get it with all these guys. They're so wimpy. It's like they have hormone trouble. And they're so sick of it, they want a guy who's very masculine. And I think there's a lot of guys who miss out on that.
Yeah. Well, there's been a movement over the years, understandably, and that's the emasculation of American men, you know, through the culture. And so this is kind of what, in a sense, that women have created for themselves, said, hey, you know, we want guys not to be guys. And so now you have guys, you know, just saying, okay, well, you know, it's just not worth it. And I'm just going to go off and I'll play my video games. I'll go hunting over here. And, you know, bye-bye, Felicia, you know?
Yeah, and there's a lot of feminists who push that whole idea. But then those, you know, same feminists and a lot of regular women are saying, hey, we're the real men. That's who we want to be with.
Who's going to protect me?
And yeah, very true.
Yeah, and that's what guys are designed to do. That's in our very nature, is adventure and beauty and protection. That is in our inner being. That's when we're happiest. But we've been told, you know, for a generation plus that, I am woman. Hear me roar. I can handle all this. Well, how's that working for you?
Yeah, absolutely. On a related note to relationships, don't take naked pictures yourself.
Yeah,
this goes out. Don't do that. There's just no upside to it. And I know so many guys who have broken up with women, and next thing you know, they're like, hey, you want to see naked pictures of her? Guys, know this happens. It happens all the time.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, this whole, Wiener thing that he did, and, you know, the culture that he opened up, you know, of himself and others, I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? I mean, this is, like you say, once it's done, it's out there. That's the nature of this technological age we live in. That's a little bit to do with the chapter on what you call adulting, right?
Absolutely. It's also about no regrets, too, actually, now, in which it's a good one. I mean, I've had friends who I look on their Facebook page, you know, and there's some, they're drunk, or there's them, you know, groping some woman, and it's like, all that stuff's cute, I guess, but do you really want a judge to see it, or someone you're trying to get a job interview with, or your mother? I mean, if you put something out there in the world, whether it's an email, a social media, it's anywhere, you've got to understand that, hey, the whole world may see this, and
exactly,
they may not all think it's cute.
Well, when I was an adjunct professor in Southern California, I told the kids, they go, you know, these pictures may look cute, but guess what? When you go to look for a job, the HR department has a way of being able to look into these. Some companies will straight out ask you, hey, I need your password for your social media. And they're looking at what's going on, because they figure if they can find it, their clients are going to find it, and this could jeopardize their relationship and have an impact on their own brand, right?
Absolutely. And this happens to people all the time. There are people who lose their jobs over what they think are innocuous social media posts. Happens every day of the week.
Well, John Hawkins' book, 101 Things All Young Adults Should Know, Practical Advice for Living in the Real World. I mean, that sounds quite novel when we consider practical advice these days, because, John, as you say, I guess maybe our own ego and arrogance, we think that we're better than practical, right? It's so unnecessary.
Yeah, so many people do. So many people lose track of that. And there's so many times that people who mean well don't think to give people this information, like the credit cards. Even
right.
If you know it, you don't think to tell your kids, hey, we've got to do this. So,
well, John,
I'm
5 seconds. 5 seconds. Tell them where they can get your book.
Amazon. Search for John Hawkins. It'll be there. That's the best way to find it on there.
John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Hewer's and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and 6 other products of Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Lifetime.